Hey, Pastor, leading the music this week and also singing with us tonight, making us look good. And I appreciate that. And Brother Henry, before the service, said that Pastor and I were the best looking men here. Brother Henry was my friend, but now he's my best friend. All right. And I appreciate that. And I do. And you can go ahead and take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 15, actually where we started on Sunday morning. And we want to go back there tonight as we conclude the meeting. But let me just say this. It's always nice coming here to Sharon Baptist Church. It's always a blessing being here. And when your preacher is kind enough to invite me, this is one of the highlights on my calendar. I enjoy coming. And, you know, I guess an evangelist is not supposed to play favorites, but I've never really done things the traditional way anyway. So you're one of my favorites. I'll deal with it later, all right? But I enjoy coming here. You encourage me. You make me feel like $1 million. I guess I should say $1 billion because $1 million is not what it used to be, right? And you make me feel like $1 billion, and I appreciate that. And thank every single person and family that prepared meals for us this week. Amen. Meals, desserts, beverages. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for the sacrifice, the time, all that you put into that. Thank you for hosting us in that way. And the Lord's going to bless you for that. And, you know, the Bible talks about hospitality. Did you know that? And we've had some hospitable people here this week. And I want to thank each and every one of you for that. I want to thank the church for providing the nice accommodations, the nice room. I've been suffering for Jesus in that nice hotel room all week long. And I'm going to suffer one more night tonight, all right? But thank you for providing that. Let me also say this. You know, you as Sharon Baptist Church, you're one of my supporting churches. And I want to thank you for how faithful you are to support each and every month. And, you know, I've thought about that before, and I thought, you know, here I am as an evangelist. I go to churches, and they give you love offerings, and they support you every month, too. And I started getting guilty about double dipping, and then I think what these churches allow me to do is allow me to do what I'm doing, even though I don't necessarily have 35, 40, 45 weeks a year, and allow me to be free to take meetings when I get them and to go. And I just want to tell you, thank you for that. And I've had, you know, I'm privileged and blessed to have some churches that do that, but I also have some individuals that do it. And they'll say things to me like, well, I know it's not much. And I tell them, yes, it is. And I mean that because it helps me. It's part of my livelihood that helps me. So it means a lot to me. And I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you. And I haven't said a word about it all week long. And that's to my shame. And I just haven't thought about it a whole lot. But I want to thank you for your prayers for my health. I look back when I was here last Easter, and I looked like somebody that needed to be supported for a cup of coffee once a month. I mean, I looked kind of sickly, and even though it was post-transplant, but God's been good. And as far as I know, I feel good overall. I think it's safe to say I probably feel better at 50 than I did overall at 45. And so I praise the Lord for that, although 50 is the new 40 anyway, right? Can I get an amen there about that? Or is it 35? I forgot. But thank you for your prayers. I am doing well. I'm overdue for some blood work. I need to get that done. But then you can pray about something with me, if you will. I need to have hernia surgery. Probably where I carried that basketball-sized kidney around in my body. And some of you remember that. I've still got gross pictures of it on my phone. If you want to see it after the service, let me know, and I'll show it to you. It's wonderful. It looks like an alien that Kirk and Spock discovered on the old Star Trek show. It's nice and gross. So some of you medical-minded people, that you're fascinated about stuff like that. As a matter of fact, when I was in the hospital, I would show it to every nurse I could, and they just ate it up and loved it. But, you know, some of you are squeamish, so I won't make you do that. But I am doing better with that, and doing just in better health now that that came out. And overall, I think I'm doing well. But I got to have a hernia surgery because we think maybe possibly where my abdominal walls weakened from carrying that extra weight of that fluid of that around for so long. And now I have this nose sticking out of my stomach, and I want to punch it away. So they're going to go in and repair that. And I think maybe this summer, I'm not exactly sure on a day, end of May, June, but they're going to use robotics to help with it. And the doctor told me that if we do that and you're okay with it, that it'll be less invasive, and your recovery time will be much quicker. And so that was music to my ears, and that's what I wanted to hear on that. And so just pray for me. Don't have a date yet. I'll let you know. But I do have an upcoming abdominal hernia surgery. And just pray that if it be quick and I wouldn't really have to miss any meetings or anything in that regard. Also, I will let you know that my kidney donor, Nicole, is doing fantastic. She's a type A personality anyway, and she's going and doing her thing, witnessing for the Lord as a palliative care kind of nurse coordinator, doing all that kind of thing and witnessing for Christ. And some of you remember this, some of you don't, but after I left here last Easter, April 2025, I drove up to Blacksburg, Virginia, and she and I were interviewed by a local news station, and they did a story on our story. And we got to give honor and glory to the Lord. It was in the making, and I thought it was going to happen before that. And sure as the world, they waited until I was in Hampton, Virginia, and called me and said, hey, can you come and do the story? I said, well, not right now. If you want to do it, you're going to have to wait. We did, and they didn't cut out any references about God at all. And if you're interested in that, you can go to WSLS.com, WSLS.com. It's our local Channel 10 in the Roanoke area. And if you look under the archives of medical stories, you ought to be able to dig it up. It would be from April of 2025, take about 2.5-3 minutes of your time, but it might be a blessing to you. Let me also say this. If you would be interested, and I send it to the church, but if you would be interested in receiving my newsletter that I put out occasionally, then if you'll give me your email address after the service, then I will try to make sure that you get that when I put it out. As a matter of fact, I put one out at the end of February, so if you want that one, I'll send it to you. It won't be completely up to date. It won't have anything that has been done since then, but if you'd like that, let me know. Give me your email address, and I'll send that to you, all right, if you're interested in that. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I'm always a little bit sad when this meeting comes to a close, and it's one thing that I've learned in 5 years of evangelism, too, is that you go to a church and you build relationships. As a matter of fact, sometimes you build friendships that transcend the week-long meeting. And when you do that, you know, it's a little bit sad sometimes when you leave. But that's what God's called you to do. You can't stay here. Although, if the preacher would be led to have another week of revival meeting, I'd be more than happy to hang around for the chili cook-off and this bake sale that's coming up. Hey, I'll even go to Sight and Sound with you. I want to see Joshua. Yeah, we'll have a great time. It'll be a wonderful time. But in the meanwhile, we move on. I'll be in West Virginia, Lord willing, Sunday morning, preaching in a church that doesn't have a pastor. And then the following Sunday, Lord willing, beginning revival meetings at a different church in West Virginia. And so just pray as the Lord leads me, and I'll pray for you if you pray for me. Amen. Thank you for letting me be here. We've had a good time. All week long, I've been a day ahead. I thought it was the day ahead of what it actually was until about yesterday. Then somehow I caught up, and now it's just going super speed. I don't know what it is. That sunrise service jacked me up for all week long. That's what it is. Because if you want to know how many times I get up at a.m., the answer is boom. So once, and that was this weekend. But we had a good time. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, thinking about what to share with you. Sometimes the hardest message to develop or the hardest thought to bring a conclusion on is not necessarily how to start the meeting, but sometimes it's more challenging and how we need to end it. And there's all kinds of things that we as preachers say that if we're not careful, they become cliche and they lose their meaning, but they really shouldn't. Even the things that we repeat over and over again, if they're biblically based, we repeat them because they're true. And as I told you that I don't bring revival with me when I come here as an evangelist, guess what? I don't take it with me when I go. If the Lord has done something in your heart, then we would pray that you never recover from it. If the Lord started to bring the seeds of revival and refreshing in your heart on Monday, because I've heard that there have been some that said, you know what, Brother Barry, we listened to God that night and we started experiencing revival on Monday. We didn't want to wait till Friday. And here's what God did. Some of you did that Monday night, and as a result, folks came forward and made decisions for the Lord Tuesday. folks came forward, made decisions for the Lord Wednesday. We had somebody saved over the live stream Wednesday night. Last night again, the Lord moved in people's hearts. And who knows, it could have been because you said yes to Jesus, that the Lord said yes to this meeting and the power on it. And now we thank God for it. Please, if God has done something in here, then let it be reflected out there. Amen? Don't be settled. Don't settle and be satisfied for a goosebump or a warm feeling. That's great. And God, again, He gave us our feelings and thank the Lord for it. But at the same time, we want this to last. Again, we want Sharon Baptist Church's best days to lie ahead of her and not behind her. And listen, it doesn't matter who's currently pastoring a church. Any pastor that loves his church wants the best things to lie ahead. Just like you as parents, you want life to be better for your children than it was for you. You want them not to learn lessons the hard way, but to learn them through maybe even your own flaws and your own mistakes. You want better for them than what was for you. We want God to keep on doing better. I'm glad that the Lord is not the great I was. I'm glad He's the great I am, aren't you? I'm glad it's not just what He used to be do or what He might do, but what He's doing now. And I thank the Lord for that. And thank God that His Word never returns void. And even this week, He's allowed us to see visible fruit. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, I want to direct your attention down to verse number 10. The Apostle Paul, as we talked about Sunday morning, giving, if you will, a chapter-long defense or apologetic of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of God, where Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, died in human flesh. He literally left heaven, took a human body, born of a virgin, never sinned, didn't come through the sinful line of man, lived a perfect sinless life because He didn't have a sin nature, died, literally died, was buried, and then He rose again. And because He rose again as the first fruits of the resurrection, then you and I are going to have that resurrected body one day as well. Either we receive it through the rapture or we receive it through death. But either way, we're going to get it because Christ already conquered it. Amen? And Paul's giving a defense of that because there were those in that church that didn't believe it and weren't teaching it that the resurrection was true. But in the midst of that, he gives a little bit of personal testimony that I believe we can apply to our lives tonight as we conclude not what God is doing, but we conclude these meetings. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by, and the word by here is an interesting word. It can also mean through. It can also mean by means of. Paul says, but by or through or through the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You know what? When God put His grace on me, He didn't waste His time. God didn't expend His grace only to find it wasted and not invested well. Paul said, when God gave me His grace, it was invested properly because my life changed. He said, the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, not empty, not profitless. He says, but I labored, I toiled, is literally what the word means. I toiled more abundantly than they all. Paul is not being arrogant. He's just stating the facts. He said, you can take all the apostles, and I labored by the grace of God more abundantly than all of them. He said, it's just the way that it is. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could utter such phrases in our lives and it not be a power trip and not be an ego trip? It's just confidently what the Lord's done through us. And by the way, Paul was not a Superman. He didn't duck into an ancient phone booth, put on his spiritual spandex, and say, up, up, and away. He never did that. He was a real man that put on his sandals one at a time, just like you and me. He was made of human flesh. As a matter of fact, he said in Romans 7, let me pull back the curtain for a moment. Let me show you behind the scenes and let you know that, oh, I'm a church planter, and although I'm a missionary, you can call him a pastor if you want to. He says, the things I know I'm supposed to do, that's what I find myself not doing. Is there anybody here tonight in the same boat as that? He said, and the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Even though Paul was redeemed and saved and born again, he still could not say that anything in him was good of his own flesh. Friend, we're not inherently good. We're not getting better. We're not evolving. We're not getting better along the line. Friend, we are depraved individuals. And we need Jesus Christ in order for anything good to be produced in our lives. And he says, and the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Friends, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit along the lines of the grace of God. But I want to entitle this, but by the grace of God. Why don't you pray with me tonight? Father, help me to say what's pleasing to you this evening. This is the last night of our meetings. But church is just a couple days away again. And there's time in between to serve you. Father, there are some folks this week here at Sharon Baptist that I've gotten involved, have gotten in touch with what you want. There's some people here that can now say, hey, you know what? I get it. I know what's going on here. I need to have a change in my heart. I need to once again love the Lord more than I love my sin. I need to once again return to what God has for me and be on fire for Him, not as someone that sticks out like a sore thumb, but as someone who's just doing what God has called me to do. Father, would you produce some more fruit tonight? Lord, would you save your best for tonight, and would you do a work that only you can do? Now, we don't know anybody's heart, and we're not heart judges. Lord, that's your job. But there may be somebody here tonight who's not a Christian. Father, I pray you to help those people, if they're here, help them to understand that they are among friends. There are none among people that are here tonight to condemn them, to single them out, to make them feel weird or out of place. Help them to understand that they're in the best place they can possibly be. And that they're not here by coincidence, they're here by divine appointment. Because somebody cared enough about them to bring them out. Lord, if there's people here who aren't saved, or if there's people listening on the live stream who are not born again, would you please convict their hearts that they're sinners, because we all are, in need of a Savior, and that they need to repent of that sin, have a change of mind about it that leads them to believe that you died and was buried and rose again for the forgiveness of their sin and for the salvation of their soul. Lord, for those of us that are saved, and maybe we're still hanging on to besetting sins, maybe we're still hanging on to unconfessed sin, may we get right with you, Lord. Maybe we missed out on Monday, but Father, you still forgive on Friday. And I pray that you would do that tonight. And for those that have gotten right with you, but they want to be faithful, they want to take the next steps, would you please minister to their heart and give them what they need to continue in the things that they've learned and been assured of. And Father, we'll give you the honor and glory for what you'll do. And all of God's people said, amen. Man, I appreciate your song tonight, Brother John. Thank you for that. And you know, I was thinking about this. Since Jesus died for us, the very least we can do is live for him. As a matter of fact, is that not Bible? Romans 12 says that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. You see, Jesus presented his body as a sacrifice of death for you and for me. And so in return, we present our bodies as a life, as a drink offering poured out for him. As a matter of fact, when the Bible says reasonable service in Romans 12, it literally means logical. And so the idea is this, that if Jesus died for me, it just makes sense that I live for him, right? And so the word life does not entail a week-long meeting. The word life is not a phase. The word life is not a period of time. The word of life is the idea of from this point forward, by the grace of God, I am presenting my body as a living sacrifice for Him. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to do more than just come to church. I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Lord to help my thoughts and my attitudes and my emotions and my actions and my eyes and my ears and my mouth and my hands and my feet to be instruments of the Lord Jesus Christ that others may see Jesus in me. I'm determining for the rest of my life that I'm going to be faithful to the Lord in the ministry of this local church or whatever Bible-believing church that you attend. And that it's going to be literally a life change from this point forward. Friend, if that happens, then revival has come. When we get to the point where we're like, I want to live my life right, and I've got one motivation, and my motivation is the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. My motivation is I want to love the Lord God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I want to obey that first and greatest commandment that so many of us take for granted and neglect every day. Yeah. I want to do that, and I want to be faithful. Mm-hmm. Friend, there's not a greater desire and life's goal in all the world than that. Mm-hmm. But I want to remind us of something tonight. The only way that happens is by the grace of God.
Praise God.
You can't do it in your strength.
That's right.
I can't do it in my strength. Man, we can have the best intentions. Man, we can buy prayer journals. We can get accountability partners. Yeah. We can change the way that we talk and our dress. We're going to clean up our act as believers. And that's all good and positive steps, right? But none of it will have any power. None of it will have any resonance. Listen, none of it will have any endurance if not for the grace of God.
Yep.
That's what we need tonight. I've shared this illustration before, but I use it because I like to honor my mom and because it's a good illustration, and there's somebody here that's never heard it. So if you've heard it before, you can take you about a 10-second siesta, all right? Just kidding, you got to listen anyway. When I was a little boy, I was not a Tonka truck kid. I was not a Matchbox car kid. I was not cars and trucks. I was action figures. Okay? If you call them dolls, we're going to have words after the service. I didn't play with dolls. I played with action figures. And I loved G.I. Joes. Now, when my dad was a kid, my dad is 78, he'll be 79 in July. My dad said, son, the G.I. Joes were about that tall. And some of you remember that? Like the well, we know his age. And they were bigger, kind of like Barbie dolls, right? Well, when I came along, I was born in 76, so I was, you know, kind of a bicentennial baby, grew up in the 80s and 90s. But when I was a boy, the G.I. Joes were like that. They were about 3 3/4 inches tall, and they were made of die-cast metal. And Lord help you if you broke that little rubber band that connected the top part from the bottom because your G.I. Joe was toast, all right? And I loved them, and I played with them, and I'd set up battles. As a matter of fact, and I still have not forgiven my sister for this, as a matter of fact, my mom said, you know what you would do? You'd set up battles, and you'd have every man perfectly right where you wanted him. You'd have every vehicle exactly how you wanted it. And your little baby sister from the... what was that thing they put in the middle of the room for the kids? Playpen. Thank you. Thank you. She would sit there and she would wait patiently till the last Joe was in place. And then she began hurling ballistic missiles at all of my men. I'm taking casualties that I can't make up for. G.I. Joes are flying through the air like this. Explosions going off. Many, many soldiers paid with her lives that day. How dare her? She should be more mature than that. There was one G.I. Joe that I really, really wanted. He wasn't the field commander. Some of you, you're going to know a lot about G.I. Joe if it's ever on Jeopardy, all right? You can thank me for that. He wasn't the field commander, but he was the head general. I mean, the head honcho, and his code name was Hawk. And I couldn't find him anywhere. Came home one day. I don't remember what day it was. I have no idea what was going on. But I remember it was not my birthday. And it was not Christmas. And my house, Christmas was a big deal. It really was. It still is all these years later. I love Christmas. Birthdays were recognized and we would receive a gift, but we didn't have elaborate parties and all that. Christmas was a bigger deal than birthdays in my place. That's the way it was. But my mom, now you have to understand, my parents provided my sister and I with everything we needed and sometimes even what we wanted. As a matter of fact, if I could sum up my parents for you in one word, it would be the word sacrifice. Some of you know what that's like because you do it. Some of you know what that's like because you've been the recipient of it. And I know for a fact there were times my mom and dad did without what they needed so that my sister and I could have what we wanted. We weren't spoiled. It wasn't. We heard no a lot, as we should have. But this day, not my birthday, not Christmas, she pulled out a G.I. Joe, and it was that one named Hawk, and he gave it to me. Now, I don't remember exactly what I said, so maybe something like, well, what's this for? She probably said, dummy, it's to play with. What do you think it's for? No, but what I meant, well, why am I getting this? It wasn't my birthday, and I made pretty good grades in school, but I don't remember it being report card day. I most assuredly hadn't done anything to earn it. What's it for? And my mama said, it's just because I love you.
Praise the Lord.
She gave me something that benefited me as a child, even though I didn't deserve it. And by the way, can I throw this in here for free? Let's let kids be kids. I know I'm not a parent tonight. Brother Barry, you've never been a parent a day in your life. You're right, I haven't. But I was a youth pastor for 9 years. That counts for some time. I got to give them back, though, after the activity was over. Amen. I taught teenagers for about 11 years and middle schoolers. There is a crown in heaven for that, friend. And I got to give them back too. So some of that counts as time served. So leave me alone. I'm not a parent, but you know what? Let kids be. Let them play with toys when they're kids. Let's not be so quick to rush them up and rush them out the door. Let's not be so quick to mature them to where they look like adults rather than children. Now, I'm not saying you got to take them to this first store of Little House on the Prairie. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is let them be children. Amen? That was for free. If you don't like it, as my mom would say, you can lump it. All right? All right. She gave me that. I didn't deserve it. It was simply an expression of love giving me something to benefit me that I didn't deserve. Friends, that's a picture of grace. And if those of you have been in church a long time, you know what grace means. And we don't want to spend a long time going over that again. But you know grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. And we don't like to hear this. We don't like to say this out loud. And I don't have a Calvinistic bone in my body. I don't have a nihilistic bone in my body. I don't have a sin. I don't want to be a cynic. But I'll tell you this. We deserve hell. We do. All of us do. Because we offended a holy God.
Yeah.
He's holy and perfect and pristine. And by the way, you want your God to be that way.
That's right.
If he's not that way, he's not God. And if he's not God, we're all in a mess.
Yeah, right. You're right.
And God can't let any sin into his heaven. He can't even look on it. That's why he turned his back on his own son when he hung on the cross. Because Jesus did not just bear, he became the thing that God the Father hated the most. And so because he's perfect, he cannot let any dirt into his heaven. And so although we deserved hell because we sinned, Adam was the first one, and then when we were born, we are all, born sinners as well. But he said, I'm going to give you favor that you don't deserve. You deserve hell, but I'm going to send my son so you can get heaven. Pretty good deal, isn't it? But you know what's interesting tonight, friend, is that the grace of God, it does not stop with salvation.
Yeah.
It starts with it.
That's right.
And we look at several things in the Word of God along this idea of by the grace of God. And we've already talked about the first one a little bit. But if you happen to be taking notes or writing down things, it is by the grace of God that we are converted. Paul says, but by the grace of God, he's what he says, I am what I am. The word am, it means to be. It means to exist. Let me ask you a very philosophical question tonight that's really more of a spiritual one than philosophical. Who are you? Who are you? You know, most of the 8 billion people who live on planet Earth, they go through life never answering perhaps the two most important questions there are. Number one, who am I? And number two, why am I here? And most people try to find the answer in every single place other than where the answer is found, and that's in the Word of God. Number one, we see the instrument of grace. Paul says, but by or through this grace. You know Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean? It means I'm going to heaven because God, through His grace, sent His Son to die for me and then granted me the faith to believe that He worked on me with the Holy Spirit. He drew me to Himself and He gave me that gift. John 1 puts it this way, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power or the right or the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. And just like my mother graciously gifted me that toy, the Lord extended the most unbelievable demonstration of grace ever when He gave His Son. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, not kicking and screaming, not unwillingly, but wholeheartedly gave. God gave it wholeheartedly. Jesus came willingly, and we are saved freely by the blood of Jesus if we'll believe. That's the instrument of grace. But number two, we see the identity in grace. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said, here's my identity. I'm a child of God. Who I am is in Him. I went from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of Christ basically overnight. God saved me. He changed me. When I met Him on that Damascus road, I met and learned and settled for once and for all that the one that I thought that I was doing God a favor by persecuting was actually Jesus Himself, that I would never snuff out Christianity because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that I had a decision to make, and even as my physical eyes were being blinded, my spiritual eyes were being opened, and I realized that Jesus is the way, and now I belong to Him. Yeah. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Yeah. Not for the years of time alone on earth, but for all eternity. Amen? Amen? We see that by the grace of God we're converted, but number two, by the grace of God, we conduct ministry for Him. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He said this, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, God gave me the ability to serve Him, and it wasn't wasted on me. Friend, tonight, let me ask you a question. Is the grace of God being wasted on you in your Christian life? Now, what I mean by that is you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, that's been settled, but as far as serving God and surrendering to Him and making a difference for Him, you really haven't done a whole lot. You've sat back on your haunches, you're kind of coasting, waiting for the Lord's return. You'll say it's somebody else's job, that's ministry, somebody else can get involved. This sign-up sheet's for somebody else. This need in the church, somebody else can fill it. If nobody else, the pastor, right? Because it's his job to do everything, right? Wrong. His job is to encourage you to help him do the work of the ministry, right? The work of the ministry is not for the pastor. It's for the people. It's not a pastoral thing. It's a Christian thing. And so the idea here is the idea that Paul said, I did. He gave, number one, the Bible talks about the idea. Paul says, look, I'm equipped. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, if you go to Romans chapter number 12, if you go to Ephesians 4, you learn about something called spiritual gifts. Where the moment you got saved, God granted you an equipment to do something for Him in the local church. Now, I don't want to get too deep tonight, but the bottom line is this. I believe there is one body in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe every church is its own separate body. We are members in particular. We are part of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. But make no mistake about it, there's a place for everybody in that body. And we need the hands, we need the feet, we need the toes, we need the fingers, we need the ears, we need the eyes. We need all of it to be a perfectly working body. Amen?
Amen.
Man, if you ever wake up and you've got a sore foot or a sore hand. I remember back in 2016, I got a case of gout. I tell you what, that's the biggest man cold I ever had, right? I wanted to cry like a little baby. It was terrible. I almost wanted to crawl because that joint on that big toe was so unbelievably sore. And you know what? If you ever get that inflammation, if you ever have a case of that, your whole body's out of whack. If that toe is sore, you might as well sit down, buddy. You ain't doing nothing or going anywhere. It hurts because that toe is wrong. It's sore. It's not right. And I don't care who you are. Just like we talked about last night, whether a stagehand or a light person or a sound guy or a curtain operator, a rope puller, tree number three, or the lead actor, there's a place for you in the body of Christ. And Paul said, God's equipped me to do what I'm doing. Can I give you the encouragement that I know your pastor does? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? You have at least one. Corinthians says the Spirit gives to each man severally as he will. And you may have more than one. Some believe you can. I don't have a problem with that. Do you know what yours is? If you don't, why don't you talk to somebody that can help guide you through that? Let me ask you this. What are the areas of ministry in the church that you have a bent towards? What are some areas of service that you find a desire welling up inside of you for and going that way? The brother asked me when we were eating supper tonight, thank you for that barbecue. I'm glad y'all didn't eat it because that means I got to eat more. He said, how old were you when you preached for the first time? And I said, I think I was 10. I think. It's all I've ever known. It's all I've ever had a real desire for. For about a hot minute, Brother John, I thought about going in the FBI so I could prosecute people. For a while, I thought about being a lawyer for a second, but that quickly dissipated. God called me to preach. It's all I know. It's how He's gifted me. Some of you in here are fantastic encouragers. Mm-hmm. You're exhorters.
Yeah.
You don't cover up the problem or you don't try to make the issue go away, but you do all you can to encourage people and lift them up because you sympathize and empathize with what they're going on. Mm-hmm. Some of you may have the gift of encouragement and mercy rolled all up in a sandwich. I don't know. Yeah. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. You're like, buddy, you know what? This is right and this is wrong, and you either need to get with the program or get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes we need to hear that, don't we?
Yeah.
Some of you have the gift of service. You'll change tires on a church van. You'll work in the nursery. You'll scrape the bubble gum off the bottom of the church bus. And you don't care if your name's in the church bulletin or not. As a matter of fact, you don't care for the spotlight. It hurts your eyes. You don't care that your name is seen. Matter of fact, you hate the attention.
Amen.
You just want to serve. Thank God for people like that.
Amen.
They're
God.
Just as important. How has God equipped you?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, will you pray and ask God to reveal it to you?
Yeah.
Because He will.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul says, not only am I equipped to serve Him, I'm also empowered to serve Him. He says, but by the grace of God. You know, it's one thing to have a gift. It's another thing to be able to effectively use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take your spiritual giftings and use them in the flesh in a way that's not pleasing to God. But if we're walking with the Lord and serving Him, God can take whatever gifts you have and use them in a way that's effective for Him. Jesus said in John 15, I'm come that you might bear much fruit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. All the things that embody Jesus can be produced through us. Not us, but Jesus in us. And Paul says, not only by the grace of God am I saved, but by the grace of God I serve. I'm able to labor, and I'm able to labor abundantly. not because of me or my name or my brand, but because of the grace of God. And friend, if Sharon Baptist Church is going to go forward past tonight, if Sharon Baptist Church is even going to make it to tomorrow with the decisions that you've made today, it's got to be by the grace of God. It's got to be by the power of God. We can have good intentions and we can have so-called willpower and it won't work. Because the devil's stronger than you in your flesh. The devil's older than you, more experienced than you, more powerful than you. He's been at this a lot longer than you've been alive. And we will fall flat on our faces spiritually if we try to do it outside of the grace of God. By the grace of God, we're converted. Amen? By the grace of God, we conduct ministry in our lives. But number three, I want you to see this. By the grace of God, we commune with Him. Will you take your Bible, if you will, for a moment and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I won't tell you who, but somebody gave me a dad joke this week. They said, who fixes the coffee in the house? According to the Bible, Hebrews. That's an old one, isn't it? Yeah. I gave him one in return. I said, did you know that Joseph was a tennis player? He served in Pharaoh's court. So, there you go. While drinking coffee, apparently. Hebrews, look at chapter 4. Some of you have this passage memorized, and it's a good one to memorize. Look at verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know what, folks? Jesus never sinned, but He knows what it's like to be us. And He knows as well, He knows better than we do, that we will fail in this flesh. He knows how weak this flesh is. He knows how unsturdy this frame is spiritually. And although the human body is a wonderful, miraculous design and invention, and it can endure and take a lot of punishment, all it takes is the wrong heartbeat. All it takes is the wrong baseball hitting a child's chest at the wrong time. All it takes is a blood clot forming, and we are out of here, friends. And He knows how frail we are. And so the Bible says this, let us therefore, because we do have this priest, who understands what it's like to be human, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of what?
Grace.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Romans says in chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Number one, by the grace of God, as we've already covered, we've been reconciled to Him. Because I'm saved, not because I'm a preacher, not because I attend church, not because I've been baptized, not because my name's on a membership roll of Victory Baptist Church in Clifton Forge, Virginia, but because my sin's been forgiven and because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin, I'm no longer the enemy of the Father, I'm His friend. I'm not on the opposite side of God. I'm on His side. And friend, let me tell you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior in love, you need to hear this. You are the enemy of God. And you are playing with fire, and you're not on God's team. You're on the opposition. And friend, I want to tell you what. I don't care what powerhouses you think's on your team. You're going to lose that game every single time. We want to be on God's team, not on the opposition. And I'm glad that we're reconciled to Him. There's no longer a partition between me and God the Father. I have peace with Him, and that never changes by the grace of God. You know what happens? Because by His grace I'm reconciled. Number two, because of His grace, I can come before Him. I can spend time with Him, and I can have a relationship with Him. By His grace we're reconciled. By His grace we have a relationship. Let us therefore come boldly. And that doesn't mean that we come calling God the man upstairs. That doesn't mean that we come calling God, hey, big guy, I need a favor. That's not what it means. It's the idea that I can come confidently. I can tell God in respect whatever it is that I need to tell Him. I remember when I taught Bible in a Christian high school, and I remember there was a certain young lady, and when she would pray in class, I love to hear her pray, and here's why. There was none of this. Oh, highly exalted potentate of the universe, we thank you, God. You know, they spell God G-A-W-D, and that W goes on forever and ever and ever, and it's never finished. Lord, we thank you that this day, and we go into this. You think God's got a clipboard? Brother so-and-so's praying. This could be a good one. And we get our clip. Oh, okay, he had eight vows, write that down. Ooh, look how he used potentate. All right. Supreme Master. Ah. You think God's impressed with any of that mess?
No.
I remember one time hearing a guy pray over the offering, and he had a good heart, but he said, Lord, we love you very, 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 very much. We thank you very, 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 very much for this day, very, very, very much. And Lord, and sometimes we pray and we tell God his name like he forgot it. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you for being here today. Lord, thank you. Can you imagine if I had a conversation with Jonathan? Good to see you, Jonathan. Jonathan, that's a pretty child, Jonathan. He's like, what? I thought we were friends, man. I thought you knew my name.
Yeah.
But we do that, don't we? We do it all the time. We don't even think about it.
Yeah.
We tell things God like he didn't know. But I can come to him. And this young lady, she would just say, God, we love you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for listening to us. I just want to talk. I just want to say this. And she actually, listen to this. She had a conversation with him.
Amen.
None of this. No. I don't do that when I'm preparing to talk to my friends here. Why do we do it when we prepare to talk to the friend that sticks closer than a brother?
That's right.
Boldness means I can tell him anything. Mm-hmm. I can come to him with anything. He's not shocked by it. He's not going to turn me off by it. He's not going to reject me. And I can come to him. And if I pray in his will, the Bible says in 1 John, I have this confidence that he hears me. And then if he hears me, I also have the petitions that he desires of me. You know what's different from the false and phony and fake gods of the world and the God of the Bible is that our God can hear and answer. And other gods, they can do two things, jack and squat. Right? Right?
Yeah.
And it's by the grace of God that you can come boldly. So tonight, why don't you come to God? Hey, if you're a Christian, you got a sin issue. Lord, I am struggling with this.
That's right.
It's not a shortcoming.
That's right.
It's not a self-esteem issue.
That's right.
It's not a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not childhood trauma.
Oh,
it's my choice.
That's right.
And I'm struggling with it. And I'm sick of it. And I'm tired of it. And I, Lord, I want to confess the rawness of it.
Yeah.
I want to confess the evil of it.
Yeah.
It stinks to you.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me, I confess it. Please help me.
Yeah.
And he will.
And
he's not mad that you asked him.
Yeah.
You know James 1:5? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. That's a good use of liberal in the Bible. Amen.
Right.
To give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Hey, you're not bothering God.
Yeah.
You don't have to schedule an appointment with him.
Mm.
Man, were we as available and accessible as he is?
Mm.
Boldly. Friend, we're going to need that if we're going to go forward for him.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I made this decision for you this week at Sharon Baptist Church, but I want to tell you what today the devil's really pressing me hard,
yeah.
And this besetting sin is crawling up my back, and I feel such a strong urge. Brother Barry, how would you know about that? I know exactly about that
mm-hmm.
because I struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for shame. You're right, it's shameful, but it's honest.
Yep.
Right? Brother Barry, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be in church today, but this is going on. I don't feel like we went all week long, and I don't know. But Lord, I need you to help me to be faithful.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
He will.
Yes, he will.
Father, that person gets on my last nerve. And if you don't have anybody like that, it's you. Some people in here get on our last nerve. Some people are the last nerve. Know your role. And Lord, I'm about to say some things that I shouldn't. I'm about to lose my temper. I'm about to not have any control over my spirit like a city without walls. Lord, I need your help because I'm about to be really nasty. And he will. Lord, I'm feeling it today. Lord, I don't even want to get out of bed. I'm complacent. I have no desire to tell anybody about you today.
Yeah.
None. I have no desire today but to do all that pleases me and pleasures me and pacifies me. That's all I want to do. I don't feel like talking to you today, really. Lord, I don't feel like doing any of it. You think God's going to disavow you? You think God's not going to still accept you as his child when you get honest with him? You come to him, you get bold, and he will help you. And don't sit there and look at me like you haven't had days like that. For some of you, it was today.
Yeah.
Right? But by the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God, he converts us. By the grace of God, we conduct ministry. By the grace of God, we commune with him. But let me say this as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 14. But also by the grace of God, we continue. If this meeting is not eventually characterized by continuance in what we've decided, then we've really accomplished nothing. You know, I went to Bible camp all of my life, and I knew your preacher when I was a teenager. I remember seeing him the first time, maybe when I was a junior, a senior in high school at Pleasure Island Bible Camp. And he's always been friendly, always been a joy to be around. And I get mad when people talk about camp decisions. Same camp that I attended from about age 11 to about age 18, and then later on was a counselor for a little bit. That place means a lot to me. People's lives were changed there. Some unbelievably powerful preaching has taken place there. People have been irrevocably changed for the better there. Yeah. Well, that's just a camp decision. You know what? Maybe a lot of times the people that say that about camp decisions, they're the same way about church decisions. Yeah. At the Wilds Christian Camp in Brevard, North Carolina, where I've had the privilege of taking teenagers as well, different ministry set up than Pleasure Island, but the same goal. Mm-hmm. Wanting to see people saved. And I love both. When you leave camp for the week, you're leaving, there's a rock to your left that says, "But continue thou." That's brilliant. And friends, you know what we ought to do? We ought to have a rock in our minds, a rock in our heart. Hey, maybe even some of our churches, we need to put a physical rock out right there in front of the church when we walk out the doors, where it's right in our eyeballs, we see it. "But continue thou." But it's only going to happen by the grace of God. Do you want to continue what God's doing? Do you not think God can do it on the Sunday after Easter with the pastor easily or even more easily than he can Friday night on the evangelist? But by the grace of God, we're converted. By the grace of God, we conduct ministry. By the grace of God, we commune with him. But by the grace of God, we continue. The last of all, we'll be done. Turn to Revelation chapter number 3. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter number 3. Jesus writes to seven local churches. And I believe that they were literal local churches in Asia Minor. Some people also say they represent the seven stages of the church age. That may very well be as well. I don't have an issue with that. But I'll tell you what, there's some churches in here that Jesus has some good things to say mixed with some bad. As a matter of fact, some of them could be named, renamed Mixed Bag Baptist Church. Would you want to be called that? I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't want to be called Laodicea Baptist Church. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? But I'll tell you one thing, there's a couple of churches in Revelation that he commends. And he commends them wholeheartedly. And I want to look at one of them tonight. Not just, if you look with me at verse number 7 of chapter 3, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia," this is not Pennsylvania, this is in Asia Minor. It's Pennsylvania too, according to the preacher, I'm sorry. That's his interpretation, and I don't want to contradict that. So here in Pennsylvania, located in Asia Minor, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works." And by the way, friend, he does. Yes, he does. He knows what we do and why we do it. And as we've mentioned this week, we'll give an account for both one day. I know thy works, and we're not saved by them. But I tell you what, when we get saved, we're going to have them. Because we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And there are some people out there behind pulpits that are preaching garbage and false doctrine. They're preaching your life never needs to change. If you believe, that's it. Well, listen, friend, it is by faith alone. But faith without works is dead. That's not a contradiction of the gospel. That's a complement of it and a reinforcement of it. We are new creatures in Jesus. And eventually, when you get saved, there will be some evidence of a changed heart that makes its way on the outside. Amen? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Wouldn't that be great to be said of Sharon Baptist? Man, we've got a door of utterance of the gospel. Well, the door is wide open. God's doing great things, and there is nothing in the way of the door. She is wide open. She's 100%, and we're doing great things for the Lord. I've got an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word. They've continued. They've served. They've guarded the word of God. They've not denied his name. You know what? Many times what happens is when we rely on the flesh rather than the grace of God, rather than continuing, we end up denying him. And maybe we'd never say out loud, Jesus is not the Son of God. Maybe we'd never use curse words in someone's face in reference to Jesus. But at the same time, we will deny him in our actions by shutting up and closing up shop in our hearts so that people don't think we're too fanatical. And we end up denying him by having loves above him and also by not telling other people about him. He said, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Look at verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast, which thou hast. Don't lose what you've got. Make it be true when I come as it's true now. Hold that fast which thou hast. Look at this. That no man may take thy crown. See, friend, we need the grace of God to be converted. For by grace are you saved through faith. We need the grace of God to conduct ministry for him. He's the one that equips us. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that makes the thing effective, right? By the grace of God, I can commune. I can boldly come before his throne. I've got a right relationship with him that I didn't have before. By the grace of God, I can continue. I don't have to be a flash in the pan Christian. I don't have to be a flavor of the month believer. I can keep on for the Lord. But last of all, friend, by the grace of God, one day we're crowned.
Yeah.
And that's the only way we get it.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate eternal paradox. That Jesus places the crown on your head that only he can wear. Because he's the one that did it.
That's right.
And the Bible says in Revelation, as John saw that scene there in the throne room, that believers cast their crowns back at his feet. Now, I've heard it said before that Jesus is going to grab them and put them back on our heads. That's not in the Bible. I don't know what he's going to do. All I know is I want to be a crown chucker. Amen?
Amen.
I want to have something to throw back at his feet other than ash, hay, wood, and stubble.
That's right. That's right.
That only happens but by the grace of God.
Yeah,
that's right. That's why he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
But friend, Jesus is going to reward us one day for how much of him we allow to show through in us.
Yeah.
It ain't about me or you. It's about what he did. Friend, may we remember that and adopt in our hearts and minds as we go forward as Sharon Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God, I do what I do. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, one day, he'll reward me. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Pray with me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. A little bit unusual invitation to him tonight, but if we could play a little bit of grace that is greater than all our sin, I appreciate that. Heads are bowed tonight, and we've talked about the grace of God because we need it if we're going to do anything. We want this week to be worth something, and I believe it is. I believe that God's done things already.